We actually got married in September, but she and a few other crazy ladies wanted to hike to the bottom of the canyon and back up in the same day. And you shouldn't do that in September, apparently. So October worked better. It was a beautiful time there, and they made it. I was praying quite a bit that they would make it back out of there because I didn't want to be the rescue team. And so, praise the Lord. But my point is, if you've seen the Grand Canyon, you're amazed at the beauty of what God has created. And unfortunately, some people there, I believe, are worshiping what they see. It's the beauty. Just like they might worship an idol or money or whatever. Whatever we worship that's not God is sin. And we need to be careful with what we worship. I was thinking about a few oxymorons. Oxy meaning sharp, and moros means dull. So sharp, dull, kind of a contradictory thing. An oxymoron would be something like jumbo shrimp. Any of you had jumbo shrimp? It's a real thing, but it's an oxymoron. Freezer burn, white chocolate, plastic silverware. If Peter was up here and he said, I have a quick message for you, that'd be oxymoron. Okay, all right. Sorry, Peter. Okay. And there's one that you might have heard that's called boring worship. Worship should never be boring. That's an oxymoron. Boring worship. I read a story about a kid that was, he asked his mom, so what's the highest number that you've ever counted to? And she said, I don't know, I can't remember. What is the highest number that you've counted to? And he said, 5,372. Well, how did you come up with that number? How do you know? Well, that's when they said church was over. Sometimes, people think church is boring. And that's many surveys that they do, is some people won't attend church because they think it's boring. And I hope that our church isn't boring. Our music is wonderful. And our words that we speak are from God's word. We throw in a few funny things like today, but boring should never be part of worship. And when we come here, our intention should be to worship. Worship has two main ingredients that I think we should remember: rejoicing and reverence. And those two should not be boring. Those rejoicing and reverence. As we sang the song, I'm running to your arms. What a wonderful song. I'm running to your arms. The riches of your love will always be enough. That really tells the story of worship. We should be running to his arms. We're going to talk more about that today. I've selected Psalm 95 because it's full of rejoicing and reverence. So listen as I read a few verses. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. For the Lord is a great God, the great King above all gods. In his hand are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to him. Even the Grand Canyon. He created it all. And we are to kneel before him, it goes on to say. But I especially like this last line. Today, if only you would hear his voice. I think it's so important that we're prepared to hear God's voice. How can we worship a God that we don't pay attention to? That we're not listening to. When you get up in the morning, be attentive to who he is. Pray and thank him for the new day ahead and ask him to speak to you. Ask him to share something new with you. Worship is a response to the Lord our God. And in these verses that I just read, it talks about how we should worship. It talks about in verse 1, with music. Sing for joy. Verse 2, with proclamation, with thanksgiving, and extol his name by giving him glory, by bringing an offering, by coming into his courts, by living holy lives. It goes on and on in that chapter about talking about how we should rejoice and give reverence to him by worshiping him. And in the next chapter, Psalm 96, it talks about why we should worship. In verse 2, because God saved us from eternal death. Everybody who's asked Jesus to be their Lord and Savior is saved. And if you haven't done that, then you're not saved. And you can't appreciate the rejoicing that needs to be done, the worshiping. Once you're saved, then you can grab hold of that mindset. And so if you have a desire to miss out on eternal death in hell, come and talk to me after the service. Talk to Pastor Peter, because it's real. And the worshiping comes hand in hand with salvation. Verse 2 of Psalm 96, because he saved us. Because of his greatness and his fearsomeness, his power, his splendor, his majesty, goes on and on in Psalm 96 to describe this great God that we have, our Creator. And he can make amazing things like the Grand Canyon by just speaking. He spoke and bang, it happened. So we are to sing and proclaim day after day. The scripture that Luke read, John 4, 20 through 24, possibly is one of the more significant passages on worship in the New Testament. And it talks about how we need to worship in spirit and in truth. And we're going to jump into that. The conversation between Jesus Christ and the Samaritan woman, she was wondering, well, where should we worship? And Jesus gives her an answer, we're going to be worshiping in heaven. But for now, you need to worship in spirit and truth. And what does that mean? Spirit and in truth. We're going to take a look at that this morning. But first, when we moved to this building, we were in Alvarado and we were able to secure this building. It was a dance hall for kids and a karate classroom here with mirrors on the walls and a drop ceiling. And it's hard to imagine what it looked like, but we started to renovate it. And I couldn't get the big picture, like, this is what it'll be like. And it kept being more amazing, and praise the Lord for all your help as we renovated it. But now it's a room for worship. It's a sanctuary that we use for worship. And as we gather here each morning with music and prayer and a message, it's all designed to bring you to worship your God, to just move you a little closer to your God and desire to worship him, both in spirit and in truth. If you're coming here for a different reason, maybe you're coming to see what you can get, or to be blessed, or to just check out the music, or check out the sermon, or see what's going on. You're missing out on the best part, the worship. Scripture says it's better to give than to receive. And when we're worshiping, we're giving to God. He desires to hear from us, to see our heart for him. It's more than just outward actions. It's an inward heart attitude that we are showing God, that we are here to worship and to worship him alone. Worship is distinctly and only for God. Someone said, while capturing the most profound of our emotions, it should include our emotions, but it's a true heart attitude. In the Old Testament, it talks about their offerings were sweet-smelling aroma. And that's what our worship should be as we gather. It should be an aroma going up to God. In fact, in John chapter 12, Jesus, he came to Bethany where Lazarus lived, and he was having dinner. And Martha was serving dinner, and Mary was not serving. She was worshiping. She grabbed a jar, a pint jar of nard, which we can't relate to, likely. But just picture a jar of perfume that costs 1 year's salary. And she poured it on his feet and wiped his feet with her hair. That's true worship. And somebody present there, Judas, he said, "What are you doing? That's a year's worth of perfume you're wasting." And Jesus rebuked him and said, "No, let her worship. It's better. The needy will always have with us." Worship is something that's necessary. In 1 Corinthians 11, it tells us that the glory of the woman is her hair. Mary had taken the glory of herself and used it for a menial task, something that a slave would do, wash the feet of somebody. It's one of the lowliest tasks that you would read about in those days. And she took her glory, her hair, and used it in worship. We'll always have plenty of Marthas around. People serving. And that's a good thing, don't get me wrong. We all need to serve. Just a couple weeks ago, we did Be the Church, Serve the Community, and we emphasized how important that is. But worship is better. Worship is necessary. Serving is a good thing. But don't forsake worshiping. Worshiping God the Creator. When you get up in the morning, are you on Sunday morning, when you get up, are your thoughts directed at God and worship and desiring to come here to worship God? If that's your focus, you'll be rewarded by giving to God that worship, and it'll be a blessing back to you. Ministry is important. It's directed at other people often. But worship is necessary, and that's directed at God the Father. So ask yourself the question, do I worship God? Am I focused on worship, especially Sunday morning? Every day of the week we should be worshiping, but especially Sunday. Are you coming here with the attitude, I want to worship God, you are so good to me? Or are you thinking about what can I receive? Or how's the music going to be? Or what's the message about? The message is directed at helping you to worship, prodding you to worship. You know, if your heart is in tune with God, you need very little prodding, very little. And as you come here with that attitude to worship God, it's spontaneous. The music will draw you in. Your heart change. Sometimes you show up here, though, and you don't have that attitude. Your body's here, but your soul isn't quite made it here yet. I heard a story about a missionary in the Amazon, and he decided he wanted to travel and get to this other tribe and reach them and minister to them and proclaim God's good news to them. And so he grabbed hold of some of the locals and the natives, and they pressed on for like 2 days. Just go, go, go. 4 hours of sleep. They were trying to get to this destination. The third morning, the natives just sat there. They weren't gathering their supplies and all their things that they had carried. They were just sitting. And the chief was there, and the missionary said, "What's going on? You got to get them going. Why aren't they moving?" And the chief said, "They are waiting for their souls to catch up to their bodies. I thought that was kind of cute. And, you know, they thought they had pressed so hard that they left. They felt like they had to wait for their soul. And I hope that you don't feel that way. When you show up at church, like it's just your body showing up and whatever happens, happens. We want to worship in spirit and in truth. It's important that you have that perspective, that you're here for worship, that you desire to meet God, meet your Creator, draw closer to Him, and to hear from Him. And worship in truth, not to a false God. We don't have pictures of God around here, Jesus, because it wouldn't do it sufficient accuracy. The truth is that we can't even look at God. He's so amazing. You know, we have an empty cross up here to remind us what Jesus has done. He died for our sins and He rose again. He went to heaven to give us, to allow us the gift of salvation. As we worship, we need to worship in truth. And that means, for one thing, not an image, not an idol, but the true God. You need to draw close to God. And not with man-made rituals. God has laid out worship in the Bible. And we just need to stick to that. Not any other man-made rituals. That's sin. God says, don't follow what man says. Follow what I say. The first commandment. Who knows the first commandment? I know you do, but you're not going to raise your hand. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. What does that mean? That means worship me alone. The first commandment is no other gods. I'm the only God. You worship me. That's how I see it. In Exodus 34:14, he says, for thou shalt worship no other God, for the Lord, whose name is jealous, is a jealous God. You know, we often think, well, jealous, that's a bad term. But God says that's who He is. He is jealous for our worship, for our attention. He wants your attention. Are you giving it to Him? Are you worshiping God regularly? Sunday especially, but every day of the week. Where does your attention go? Are you directing your attention to God? Matthew 22:37. And the young man came to Jesus and said, what is the first and great commandment? The Lord said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and soul and mind and strength. That's kind of the same thing. We come to God in worship. Total being, worshiping God. That's the first commandment. Worshiping in spirit and in truth. Worship should be a priority for us. Worship is not the focus of the Christian life. That focus is a day-to-day obedience to God. But worship is the force that helps make day-to-day life of obedience possible. As we worship God, it helps us to obey His word, to obey His commands. They go hand in hand, obedience and worship. Worship's not for God's benefit, it's for our benefit. As we give, He can bless us. As we give Him due worship. I have a quote here. If you leave church with your faith stronger, your hope brighter, your love deeper, your sympathies broadened, your heart purer, and with your will more resolute to do the will of God, then you have truly worshiped. It's our desire that you are prodded to worship in spirit and in truth, and that you would truly desire that. As you get up in the morning, as you get dressed as you drive toward church. Prepare your heart to worship. Prepare your heart to give true worship. And you will be blessed. And do that throughout the week. And you will be extremely blessed. Let's pray as the music team comes up. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for the wisdom of your word, how it lays out your desire for worship. Lord, help us to worship in spirit and in truth. Help us to be Marys and to know that worship is necessary, that you desire it, and that you appreciate it so much, Lord. May we be blessed as we go forth as worshipers of you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.